Good morning.
There you go.
All right, so this presentation is more a better practice presentation, so I'm just going to go through it and let you look at pretty pictures. First of all, no relationship to disclose. I'm really big on, you know, developing relationship and all that, but fortunately in this case I do not have any relationships to disclose. So a little bit background information. Hepatitis B is the world's most common liver infection, and it is actually the number one cause of liver cancer. About 50 to 80% of the liver cancer cases are caused by hepatitis B infections. And liver cancer right now is actually the second deadliest cancer in the world, not in the U.S., in the world. In the U.S., we see a very high hepatitis B prevalence among Asian immigrants from Asia and Africa, as well as native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. It is a virus that's transmitted through blood and body fluid, so anything from blood exposure, like you have a cut, someone else have a cut, you touch fingers, or if you share razors. To the most common way of transmission is actually vertical transmission from mother to child during the process of birthing. If there's a little bit of blood contact, the baby could get it. There are currently ways of intervention, including a vaccine, which takes 3 doses over the times of 6 months. There is a screening test. It takes 1 tube of blood, not 2, so it's not too much blood. That was supposed to be a joke, but it's too early. And you send it to the lab, and then they'll come back and tell you whether or not you're infected or you've been exposed by your body, fought off the viruses, so you're now immune, or you've never been exposed and you need a vaccine. So, Hep B United is actually a national coalition of coalitions and grassroots initiatives in different local areas. If you look at the map, there are local partners that we have. And what we mentioned earlier, the screening, the vaccination, and the treatment, that's what most of these local coalitions are doing. They're trying to increase the screening by mostly providing free community-based hepatitis B screening events, connecting individuals that need vaccines to vaccines, or in some cases they actually provide vaccines by collaboration with local health departments. And they usually also do linkage to care, linking patients to physicians. There are currently about 21, I think. In the next month or two, there will be 22 partners, I believe. And it is co-led by the Hepatitis B Foundation, who used to employ me, and also APCHO, which is the Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations. Now, staff from these two organizations form the core team on the national level to help building the capacity for local partners. Some of them are just starting, and some of them have been around for a while, but all of us have experiences and skills and materials that we can share with each other. So this team is there to facilitate the resource sharing as well as experience sharing. There is also mentorship. For example, the Washington, D.C. Coalition has been around for a while, and Minnesota is just starting. So there actually is a formal mentorship relationship going on between D.C. and Minnesota, and there are also mini grants to help people get started. All right, so at the same time, we have a collaboration with CDC, which is developing materials in a campaign called No Hepatitis B. They're developing materials in 4 to 8 languages, depending on how resource-intensive material is. For example, a video PSA or a radio PSA would be much more resource-intensive than a fact sheet. So they will have 4 languages: English, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean, which are the Asian languages are the 3 largest Asian groups in the United States, and of course English, so everybody else can use it. If you look over there to your right lower corner, you may recognize Dr. Howard Koh in one of the posters. I just want to tell you that when I bring that poster to local health centers, the ladies working in those clinics, they go crazy. They're like, oh, he's so handsome. What is he telling me to do? And And so we have that poster in Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, and English, so everybody can listen to Dr. Howard Koh and get tested. Other than that, we also have like customizable posters and infographics. All right, so our goal as the national team is to get these material into the local community partners' hands and know how to work with them. If you think about the four P's of marketing or social marketing, some of you may know, I need help remembering. Number one is product, which is mostly everything you just saw, all the Dr. Howard Koh's lovely picture. The place is internet and stuff. The price that local partners need to pay in order to use these things is they need to develop the skill to know how to use them. They need to spend time, and they need to be available to get in contact with these things. And promotions is something I'll talk about in just a few seconds. So our audience are local partners, not the community. But their audience are their community as well as their other partners, because they are all coalitions, so they have individual partners. They have CBOs and student organizations, hospitals, FQHCs that work with them. So they need to disseminate as well as use it for their partner, for their community. And we really just want to help them be able to do that. So Hebi United, the online media platforms that we currently use include Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, which I think most people probably know. If you have questions, we can talk later. And also we have a website where we store all the contents and everything go into the detail. And we have an e-newsletter that we send out monthly to talk about how they can better use it, as well as some breaking news. And we also have webinars. So we didn't succeed all the time. At the very beginning, when we first started this, we thought, oh, you know, we've seen our local partners on Twitter and Facebook. They must know it a little bit. So why don't we put together a social media contest and get them engaged and get them stars using these materials? We had the first week was the email signature challenge, which just includes them putting the No Hepatitis B campaign logo into their email signature. And the local coalition that sends me the most emails wins like $100 or something for Dunkin' Donuts. And then, you know, it gets harder. We then do a Twitter challenge where they have to engage and use hashtags. And then Facebook caption challenge where you see that sea lion there. And also there's a picture of me doing this in front of that focus photo, a big poster. So we try to make them do interactive things on Facebook so they can learn how to do it for their own community as well. And finally, I put together a list of all the No Hepatitis B campaign materials, a checklist, and we asked them to decorate their office using those things so they can check it off. Everything that they can print out, they print it out. Everything they can play on their screen, they play on their screen, so they can get familiar with the material. The result wasn't that great. New York was really good at it. They have three people managing their social media accounts, and they want $600 worth of Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, and Amazon things together. Houston was okay-ish. They have young people working on their stuff, and they want about, I think, $50 to $100 worth of things. But others didn't really participate. And we realized that that's a fumble. That's not what we intended to do for New York to get all those coffee and stuff. So we realized that we need to regroup. And so we first went through every single one of their accounts, trying to find their website or whether or not they have a Facebook account. As if you can see, some of them had groups instead of fan pages. And one of them actually has a person account for their coalition instead of a fan page. Twitter and YouTube, whether they have presence, how many likes they have, and then we send out a survey, and then we interact with them one-on-one by calling them to figure out how to best help them improve the capacity. And after all that, oh, Okay, we'll come back to this one. After all of that, we came up with these three strategies. One is one content, many platforms, and two is English for first impression, third is educate, train, and share, and I'll talk about that really quickly, but we do have success early on, too. So a lot of them actually are good with Twitter, and so we had a Twitter chat in collaboration with CDC, and as you can see from the stats, they were engaged, and we reached about potentially 380,000 people, which is great. If you look at the top locations, you can see that Atlanta, Georgia is obviously CDC. Philadelphia, PA, that's where I was, so Happy United account was tweeting from there. But other than that, and New York, we know they're good. But other than that, there are some places that we didn't expect to participate so much, they did. All right, so by one content, many platform, I meant the same content that we have, we put it on multiple platforms and they're all linked to each other. This way, no matter how good a local partner is at one platform or another, they can access the content. So we have something we call Happy Hangout, which is basically an online chat with all the experts. For example, we're talking about ethnic media outreach. Then the experts from probably three of the local coalitions and another known expert in the area will then join us online by face chat. It's not like webinar where you have the slides, but rather they're just looking into their webcam and chatting with each other as well as people asking questions. So we have one of those, and then we put an ad of it on Instagram, and we've actually put a recording on YouTube, share it on Facebook, tweet about it, and also on our website we have the link to the content. So this way, no matter what they like, they will be able to access the material. If you constantly work with social media, you can fall asleep during this slide, but in general, Facebook is good for connecting to different contents. You can easily put links in and people can get to the contents, but you need to find a balance between the content fatigue and visibility, because nowadays, and you may have heard a lot of complaints about companies posting things and they feel like no one ever sees them, and Facebook says that's because each person usually gets, I think, about 1,500 newsfeed updates each day, so, and each person usually only reads 100, so you're competing with another 1,499 posts, and so you need to post constantly, yet if people see your logo there too much, they may get tired of you, and every time they see your logo, they just don't want to click on it. So you have to find a balance between that. For Twitter, it is great for interactive events like Twitter chat that I just mentioned, but you have to, again, find the balance between fatigue and visibility. YouTube is great for video hosting, and the problem is if you're putting up something that's serious, like a heavy hangout or a webinar, people usually won't have comments, and if you've seen YouTube comments, there's usually probably three good ones and then 20 that are just either trashing it or random stuff. So that's something you have to decide whether or not I even allow comments to be posted about my video. Instagram is great for image-based content. So if you have a poster in Vietnamese, you can take a picture of it, put it on Instagram, and all the local partners that have Instagram can then share it. However, it cannot embed long videos. So since Vine came out, how many people here knows Vine? Great. So since Vine came out, I noticed that Instagram now has video too. But I think it's only for about a minute. So you can't put a whole webinar on it, but you can probably, if you know how to edit, you can do highlights and just put your phone in front of your screen and do highlights of a session, and then as a way to advertise for your online content. So we use English material on social media as a first impression thing, like a test tasting. Our partners will go on to their social media account. They will see something in English. For example, there's a poster that's all in English, but it also has versions, 2 minutes, in Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean. So, and we do do mention it in our posts. So when they see that, it's like, oh, okay, I like this poster, and I want it in Chinese. Then they will click on the link. These are all very simple stuff. I bet you can think through if you just spend the time. But I'm telling you so you don't have to think. Finally, we use webinars and hangouts and newsletters and also calling people and just talking to them one-on-one to really teach them how to put these things together using buttons and using posters in community settings as well as online. So the next set for us is actually we're going to start engaging in actual in-language social media. So WeChat is very popular among immigrants from China, as well as people who actually live in China. And Line is popular among Koreans and Taiwanese. So we're going to try to develop languages already in language, I mean content that's already in language, use these to disseminate. If they're successful, then have our local partners be able to share them too. And I think that's my time, so thank you very much. You mean with CDC or? So for years, they have been people working on hepatitis B, especially in the Asian Pacific Islander communities all around. They usually were individuals. So about 3 years ago, we gathered everybody together and say, let's start something that can, on the national level, support everybody. And that's how it happened. The first few months, we had no funding. So it's, yeah, we didn't have funding for the first probably half a year, so the two leading organizations, they basically donated their staff time to work on whatever we could, and then at the same time putting together grants, because now we formally have a national coalition, and then once we got funding, then we could do a lot more.